Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Welcome back to another episode of the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 75. Wow, I can't believe it's episode 75 already.
Kind of scary in a lot of ways.
I know, I guess when you're having fun, time flies. We have special guest today, Josh Twist. I'll give him a chance to introduce himself in just a minute. But, of course, you guys all know that it's Kale Teeter and Evan Basilik on Skype with me. I'm Sujit DeMello. And we are here to talk about Logic Apps today. But before we get started, wanted to just tell our listeners that the Build conference is kicked off in San Francisco today, and I saw the keynotes this morning, and a lot of Azure announcements, some very, very cool things in the Docker space. We've talked about that in previous episodes, and they're doing a lot of work in that area. Mark Resinovich was on showing a lot of development-oriented demos. Did you guys, any of you guys catch it?
I caught some snippets of it. I was actually watching it earlier and then got sucked into a case. I've seen some of the kind of the announcements that come out, but I haven't seen the actual keynote.
Yeah, definitely would recommend our listeners check that out. It's at buildwindows.com, and you can get the recording there. Of course, tomorrow you can guest keynotes live tomorrow. There were Azure announcements and there were Windows announcements as well, and some Office announcements too, but the Azure ones are particularly interesting. Well, so let's get we want to talk to Josh about this topic of Logic Apps, but let me give Josh a chance to introduce himself first. Josh?
Well, hey guys, thanks for having me on the show. So my name is Josh Twist. As you can tell by my accent, I hail from the UK, but I live in the USA now. I live in Redmond, near the mothership. I'm a PM on the Azure Application Platform team, and I have had the pleasure of working on quite a few cool pieces of tech that we ship in Azure, all the way back to, I was the sort of founding first full-time member of the mobile services team in the early days. I was then asked to go and help with an acquisition that we made. We bought a company called Epiphany and launched that at Azure API Management, and I worked on that for a while. And then just recently, I was asked to go and work on integration at AppPlat, because this is becoming an increasingly important space. And so I now work on Logic Apps, Azure API Apps, all part of Azure App Service. And all of the connectors that pull in all of the BizTalk pieces as well. So if you're familiar with BizTalk Server, we're taking that technology and taking the key pieces of it and making it part of this Azure App Service. That's what I do. That's me.
That's amazing. Very, very illustrious career at Microsoft so far. As a matter of fact, Josh, when we connected internally right after that, I said, his name is so familiar. Why is that? And I looked, and of course, I've been following you on Twitter for quite a while now, and primarily because, you, as far as I'm concerned, you're the one for me that put mobile services on the map. That was why I started following you on Twitter. I remember way back when you were evangelizing mobile services, and you just mentioned that you did that, and you did such a fantastic job with that. I got to say, I think part of the reason why mobile services is so popular is because you took that effort to evangelize the service to all the community and the public.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, actually. That was a very, very fond memories of those early days of Project Zumo, it was called, the ZU from Azure and the MO from mobile. Great days, great fun, and still a great product, still available today as part of Azure App Service as well.
Okay, so you mentioned some of this transition that you made into now the integration services. So is this something that you kind of wanted to try something different, or the bosses said, hey, why don't you Go in that area. How does that work with these kind of transitions?
Yeah,
well,
in this.
So there's this one bad review, and no.
Yeah, one bad review. It's around the right time, right? No. I mean, I was in the middle of, I was very, very engaged in API management, which was the team I was working on before. However, we had a super strong team over there. That we, the people working on the team with me were the CEO and CTO of the company we acquired. And that was in, it was in a really good place. I mean, that thing is growing. Gangbusters is extremely popular in a really good place. Working in API management, you can't help but bump into integration. There's just a lot of, I wouldn't say overlap, but a lot of edges touching between those two worlds. People are often wanting to use both capabilities. In fact, some of the competitors are firmly in both spaces. Some companies do API management and integration, and that's what they focus on. So they were always kind of bumping heads. So I always had an eye on it. I also used to do some consulting around, as I was a Microsoft consultant in the UK for a few years before I moved over to Redmond. And I did a little bit of consulting around BizTalk and integration in that space. And super powerful product, but one of the things that excited me about coming to the product groups was the chance to kind of go make things better. And so having worked with that product in the field and the opportunity to go and do some of the things I'd like to do with this product, that was very tempting. My management were keen that I would go and help out in this new space. And so here we are. API management's in great hands. It was painful leaving, because I really like that team and that effort. But this is an excite. It's such an exciting new space. I think the opportunity here to really reimagine the pieces we currently have and take it to a whole new audience. I mean, that's literally why I came to the product groups.
That's amazing. I just want to give you one piece of feedback on the API management, if I may. I
Of
know
course, yeah.
you've
I'll pass it on. I'll pass it on
please,
to Vlad.
if you, and this is more from a developer perspective, right? Because
Yep.
I use the MSDN subscription. I use my credit on Azure to
Yep.
try out various pieces. And okay, so I can spin up a service, for example, or a bunch of services. And they don't. You could take the smallest SKU available. It's like
Yep.
$10, $15 a month, right, to keep it running. You take the API management, and that takes $50 off your credit, every month. It just eats up into your credit very quickly, just for the very bare minimum SKU of API management services. And I wish that they had one for developers.
For free,
That's not for free. I'm not saying for free, but
it's
something
just cheaper.
a little just for almost like a trial experimentation SKU.
Yeah, I mean that is. I know that is something that's on the roadmap and on the radar. As you know, all being in the world of software, it's all about prioritization. And for many reasons, actually having a free or a trial tier actually takes engineering effort to enable that. And so the question is, where do we put the wood? Do we add this feature that people are literally tearing the door down, that we go and add this feature, this customer that wants to use the product for real? And at some point, that balance will swing, and I assume they'll add those capabilities to allow for a free tier. Just to be clear, there's no money being made on the developer tier. That is sold at a loss already. So it's not some kind of money-making scheme. We hear you loud and clear, though. There are a lot of requests for a lot of different things, and it just depends who you're talking to. If I talk to fellow Microsofties who use their MSDN accounts or other MVPs and people who demo it, they feel that pain of missing a free tier very heavily. Some of the customers that are seriously using the software don't feel it at all. So, again, just a question of priorities there, and I'm
Oh
sure
yeah.
those guys will swing back and will do that for people.
Great. Yeah, no, it's a fantastic product. I love it. Looking forward to any enhancements there. But getting to this topic of logic apps, and I guess this kind of falls into the larger umbrella, this whole re-envisioning of our PaaS services into these various SKUs now: web apps, logic apps, API
Yep.
apps, and missing one here somewhere, I think, mobile apps.
Yep.
What can you give us a little bit of background as to why we made this transition? I mean, you mentioned BizTalk services, and we did have BizTalk services, right,
Yep.
as a standalone service. Yet we've felt the need to bring together various services into this new app model. And what's the rationale behind that?
Yeah, I mean, there was quite a few forces that pushed the team to that place. Let's talk about some of them. So one is websites has been available in Azure, and it was often deemed, we literally got this feedback directly from analysts that websites is really underselling the technology. It's, websites makes it feels like it's just a simple flat file hosting platform where you can't do much. You just dump some files and then you get a website. Everybody knows it's far more capable now. It's an extremely capable, high level PaaS that allows you to build, really, really interesting backends all the way from mobile backends to interactive rich websites and web APIs. It's also was the platform that mobile services was built on. So most people knew this, but actually when you were creating a mobile service under the covers, we were actually creating an Azure website and just adding some extra goodness on top of that, some additional features around accelerating the development of a backend and an SDK that plugs into your client to make it even easier to move forward. But then we ended up in this race. As websites added a new feature, we had to go and add a new feature to mobile services, and it was frustrating for people that websites would sometimes get this feature and then mobile services would lag behind a little bit. Also, BizTalk services, then what you would find is these things are often used in combination. If you think about a mobile app, if you have a mobile app, there's also a good chance that you have a web application for the same purpose. For example, even I actually have a mobile app I built as part of the mobile services days that runs on iOS called Dutu, which was like a It was a to-do list, which is a little embarrassing, really, isn't it? But and I have a web version of that as well. And ironically, I'm running the web version on a separate website that calls the mobile service, and it always felt a little painful. Why don't I just have one solution to do all this stuff? Furthermore, we really there was a big focus on satisfying enterprise line of business, trying to accelerate business development with these platforms, and one of the most commonly asked questions is, this is awesome. How do I connect this to my SAP backend or my Siebel backend or my Oracle or my Salesforce or whatever? And we have this other piece of technology called BizTalk Services, right? So really what you've seen is a fairly natural evolution of going, look, all these things are being used together. In some cases, they're being used together, but they're being forced apart just because of the way we set up the product. Doesn't it make a lot of sense to bring these together? And here's one of the reasons why it makes a bunch of sense for customers, is they now pay one price and they get all of this stuff included. So you're not buying a separate mobile service and a separate website. You can buy your app service plan and run your mobile service and your website on that app service plan. And of course, now with the addition of Logic Apps and BizTalk API apps, which are really just the evolution of BizTalk services, that also runs on the same stamp, and again at the same, you're paying one price and you're getting all that stuff together, and it just makes a bunch of sense. And it also, I think it does a better job of selling the actual power of that website's platform that was built by the websites team.
Okay,
Make sense?
that makes a lot of sense. Thank you. Yep. So, give me a like a scenario. I guess who's the target audience for the Logic app? Like, what you mentioned LOB apps. So, is it mainly enterprise customers, or is there a specific scenario we're going after here?
I struggle with the term enterprise customers today almost. What is an enterprise customer?
Sure.
Yes, enterprise customers are part of the target scenario, but I'll give you a couple of stories. So integration is clearly a scenario that I think speaks to the enterprise crowd and traditionally always has. And we have a fantastic product in BizTalk Server and BizTalk Services. However, it is only really used by a percentage of what we think of as our development community, and they are a super passionate percentage. And we've often felt that's because of the difficulty in using this product. It's a complex product for complex problems. But there are many, many customers who need integration capabilities and want to solve somewhat less complex problems. Let me give you two real examples. So when I was a consultant in the UK, I was working with a large power company over there, and they had a simple need for an integration scenario that is actually fairly lightweight. Like BizTalk makes mincemeat of this, where they had an FTP server that was receiving some files from a partner, and they wanted to open those, pull those off the FTP server in a reliable way, so that data isn't going to get lost if the server goes down, and move it and shred the file and put it into a SQL database or an Oracle database. It was a database of some kind. And literally, that is kind of like BizTalk laughs in the face of such a problem. However, BizTalk was a, and I don't want to be the guy who comes in and sort of pours scorn over the previous product to sell the next, you know, the next version. But we should also be realistic about the challenges. It wasn't a super easy product to learn. There was an upfront investment required in order to get involved with BizTalk, and it had a very steep learning curve. You know, you would only go and learn that if you were going to apply it in a heavy way. And so this particular project, they decided not to use BizTalk because they had to train the back office infrastructure support guys how to manage that infrastructure. The developers had to learn all these new approaches and new technologies, and there was just it was just too steep a learning curve to invest for that one problem. Now in my world, I look at that and I think, well, that's a lost opportunity though. That would have been a great way to kind of get the customer on the first step of the ladder towards solving more complex problems with this awesome platform. And so really what we're trying to do with Logic Apps is solve the same problems and simpler ones, but provide a nice gradual learning curve so that someone wants to solve something simple, they can do it. And here's a real example, actually, from my API management days. So in the PM team, we're very interested in, very customer focused, increasingly so. You know, Scott Guthrie's really driven this through the organization. It's one of the reasons I love working in his org. And we live and breathe by having conversation with customers and understand what our customers are doing and our telemetry. And that means we really need to pull data together for insights. And so we wanted to pull, you know, telemetry data out of our Azure system and push it into our CRM system. And again, even though it was Microsoft, we chose to, I think one of the PMs just wrote some kind of cranky code that was doing this and some .NET code. It wasn't durable. It was lossy. All of those best practices that come if you use an integration platform. This is one of the reasons why when I was given the opportunity to go and work over here, it's like, oh yeah, we can do something awesome here because we can take the power of BizTalk and our connectivity that includes, and we can democratize it and make it so any developer, any technical person can come and use this, be up and running in a matter of minutes, but can then continue to grow all the way to daddy integration scenarios. And that's really what we're trying to do with Logic Apps and the Azure App Service.
So is that, I mean, you know, again, BizTalk has had a long storied history, right? I mean, it's a product that the people that use it today absolutely love it, right? Like, you'll pry it from their cold, dead hands.
Yep.
When you guys look at kind of where you want to take the Logic Apps product, is that kind of your nirvana? That's kind of what you're shooting for, is the ability to do everything that BizTalk kind of does, or is that kind of, you're really going in a different direction with the product?
No, I think we're looking for the same capabilities as you get in BizTalk, probably some new ones. I mean, we've already added a lot of capabilities that connectivity and so on that are SaaS connectivity. SaaS explosion is one of the things that's driving the interest in this space. I think of it as the continuation of BizTalk, to be honest. You know, it's the evolution of BizTalk. We're really taking BizTalk and making it fresh. We're making it ready for the cloud. This is BizTalk, and actually we carry the name forward into it. One of the things we've done with branding is Logic Apps is a gentle step in, but you'll notice that if you actually start doing heavyweight integration scenarios, you're using BizTalk branded pieces, actually. So the connectors, some of the connectors that do things like X12 integration, Rules Engine, Trade Partner Management are called BizTalk connectors. So the BizTalk brand is still there, and it's still something we think is critically important. So, you know, BizTalk isn't going anywhere. We're just kind of putting life back into it, if you will, and reinvesting heavily in the product teams.
Now, so a lot of times we see some of the products, like SQL Database is a good example, right? See, the SQL Database Azure product or Azure SQL DB is the same kind of at a couple levels up, same org that does SQL Server on premises.
Yep.
Are you guys associated with the BizTalk product group, or
that is under my purview as well now? So I own BizTalk Server as well.
So really and truly, it is a fully integrated thing. That's great to see, because it really does mean that the experience and kind of the holistic vision, right, will show up. You'll see this cross pollination of ideas and the like back and forth, which is cool.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's the same. Actually, the guys that work on BizTalk Server, some of them were based in India. They're actually moving over to Redmond so that we can all be located in one team room, so we maximum velocity. And we're still very committed to BizTalk Server, make no mistake as well. We know this is running seriously mission-critical payloads for
Yeah, absolutely.
really, really important customers that are doing, you know, this thing pushes bazillions of transactions a day. We'll be doing a new major version of BizTalk Server next year. We're still fully committed to BizTalk, but I think of this effort, this team is really taking that and trying to move it forward and do things that BizTalk Server can't do today, which is, you know, we're building a new platform that helps for cloud scalability, has a different focus internally, which is going to make us more future-proof. You know, the Logic Apps capability, the orchestration engine in Logic Apps is, I call it born of the web, and that is it thinks in JSON. All of the language internally is JSON-based.
The
scripting that you do is all processing JSON. And the only way a Logic App can communicate with the world is HTTP. This is entirely based on REST and APIs and uses Swagger, if you're familiar with Swagger REST definition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it communicates with the world. And so we're building, just by making that statement and sticking to that principle very strongly, we're building an orchestration engine for the modern world, which is based on the web. But we're also building a naturally extensible platform. Because guess what? If you want to add a connector now to the new BizTalk world, the Logic Apps and the BizTalk API apps, you just write a web API.
Now, Josh, just to be clear. Sorry, go ahead.
No, so I was just going to say, Sajid, now there's your weekend project. You need to write an API.
I do,
for our
yes.
podcast that, you know, people can tie into their Logic Apps.
There you go.
There you go. You'll need an Azure podcast Logic App. Yeah, and we'll actually open up that marketplace. I mean, I don't have a date for you today, but the marketplace where you see the 50 or so API apps that we have, we'll make it so people can put capabilities in there and even resell them through our marketplace. So that's all on the radar for the future.
Now, Joshua, if you use a Logic Apps service, does that mean that you have BizTalk on premises? How I'm struggling with the relationship here with BizTalk.
The relationship with BizTalk. It's the same team.
Right, no, I know. I mean, I know that on the Azure side, it's the same team, but. You know,
in the same way you can use SQL Azure and you can use SQL DB on premise mm-hmm. today, it's the same as that. You don't have to have one to use the other. You can just use the one you need to, or you can use both. And we actually expect many customers. You know, customers are going to use both, where they have a need to they want cloud orchestration, or they're moving more to the cloud, but they have some existing assets running on premise. Then we fully expect people will be using both. So they're related, but they're not tied.
Got it. So you're leveraging the orchestration capabilities and making it easily available in the cloud using Logic Apps.
Yeah.
So I had a couple questions, Josh. From the creation side of things, when you're using these Logic Apps now, if somebody's going to approach this for the first time, what's going to be required? Obviously, if there's endpoints that are involved here or connectors, like web services you mentioned, but is all the authoring and things done strictly in a web browser? Is there any client-side stuff that has to be done, like even in like Visual Studio, or is pretty much everything done through the browser and the portal?
You can do everything through the browser. Today we have a visual designer, which is pretty easy to use. I mean, we are in preview right now. We realize there's work to be done. You know, we've got a lot of feedback about that. But we do have demand and requests to make this something you can do in Visual Studio as well, which is something we're certainly considering and looking at. But right now you can just do everything right there in the Azure portal, including designing your workflows, provisioning all your API apps. And all the visual designer doing is creating a JSON tree, you know, a declarative definition of your workflow.
Mm-hmm.
And the engine that powers the new Logic Apps workflow engine is the same engine that powers Azure deployments. So if you guys are familiar with Azure Resource Manager, it's actually based on that technology, which is already very proven, highly scalable, has all of the right concepts like checkpointing and durability baked in.
Yeah, I was wondering from like a versioning perspective, a lot of, you know, the typical customers I work with, you know, just going up and changing something in a browser, whether it's just modifying JSON behind the scenes, they need to version that so that they can say, you know, they can timestamp it and say, this is when we pushed that change to our workflow.
Yeah.
I just wondered how that was accommodated. Yeah.
So we actually do that for you. So we keep all the versions of workflow In storage, and you can actually see. Oh, I don't know if we've released this yet, but it's coming soon. I can see it in our private stamp. A version history, so you can literally go and look at all the different versions that you had. I don't think that answers the question that I think you're leading to, which is around what does application lifecycle management look like with Logic Apps? And that's definitely one of the areas where, you know, we've received feedback and we've got work to do, and we're going to go and invest in that. That's one of our kind of core investment areas in the near future is how do we make ALM for this thing really sing? And so you can expect some updates on that in the not too distant future.
Cool. What about like from a scaling perspective? Like we haven't talked too much about that so far, but is there like obviously there's going to be limits around the services themselves, but is there ways to get higher performance wins? Is that controlled at like the app service level, or how does that work?
So it's a Logic Apps is sold effectively in bundles with your app service. So when you buy app service, you buy a tier. So let's imagine you're buying the premium tier. That premium tier will include an amount of workflow of Logic App execution included in the price. And if you want more, you can just buy more units. So, you know, it'll include, I can't remember the exact numbers, but I can look them up. It'll include X thousand workflow steps, for example. And then you
Cool.
can just scale that up as you need. And at some point, we'll do things like auto scale, et cetera, et cetera. But in terms of the total scalability, like how far can you go with this thing? Extremely high. You know, the scale is of this system has been designed to handle some of the really, really, really large systems that we see running, say, on BizTalk Server today and beyond. We want to really push through that boundary. So, you know, millions and millions of messages, et cetera, et cetera.
Nice.
Now,
Nice.
Josh, I remember back in your mobile services days, listening to some of your presentations, you talked about how that was extendable using Node.js, like JavaScript code and things like that. Is there something similar in Logic Apps?
Well, it's extensible by you can create a web API and call it from Logic Apps. So you can extend it with any language that you like is kind of the core way we think about it.
But there's no
Does that make sense?
scripting. There's no scripting
There's
extension built into it itself.
a simple expression language based on a standard called JSONM, which is an open source thing out of Facebook. But that is, you know, we're trying to keep the orchestration piece about orchestration. And then if you want to run code, then you can do that by building an API app. So building a Node API app that you call into to run the code is,
Got it.
you know, it's a matter of seconds. You just call into that, have it do what it needs to do, and then send the response back. There is a simple expression language. If, for example, all you want to do is add two JSON numbers, then that feels painful to go and deploy an app for. You can do that right there. So you can do some basic manipulation of strings. There's conditional logic baked up into the workflow. You know, looping over arrays, et cetera, et cetera. So simple things you'd expect to be able to do with JSON are baked in. But if you want to do anything more meaty than that, then throw up an API app and just use your existing plan to host it.
Excellent. Thank you.
And I assume, Josh, that things like state are automatically, that's part of like being PaaS, right? So like if you had a multi-step workflow, you know, when you're running these things on premises or doing those things like from the past, there's a lot of things to consider there about how you're going to manage transactions and state management of the workflow if something goes wrong in the middle. Is that kind of handled all by the platform then in the
So
PaaS
yeah,
world?
we one of the key things people need is checkpointing. So let's imagine that I've got five steps in my workflow, and I'm stepping through it, and then for some reason the machine that's running that thing goes down, right? If I was just doing this in code, I've probably lost that forever now. That's gone away, and I lost all the progress I made through those five steps. With the execution engine we have, we do checkpointing. So we checkpoint and stores a disk between each step. And then if something happens, we'll recover exactly where we left off, and we get you as close to at least once delivery as possible. Like ideally, everything happens once. In the cloud, we need to be ready for it to happen more than once. But with this design, we get you very, very close to just once execution. And that's kind of a key component. With respect to compensation, you can use the error handling inside and the conditions inside a Logic App to say, you know, if this particular thing failed, then go and do this instead. And we have plans to actually make that even better and really provide a very first-class experience around sort of comp, which I think is what you mean by transactions. Obviously, the days of the DTC in the cloud and a DTC between Salesforce and Dropbox is probably not going to happen anytime soon. Those days are over. Things look a little different today, which is why having a new workflow engine that thinks like a modern engine, HTTP, JSON, that's how we build the world now. But providing first-class capabilities around computation is definitely something we'll do in the very near future.
Yeah, so just for the folks that may not know, right, DTC, Distributed Transaction Coordinator, and golly, that was such a pain to support.
It was nice though, right? It was the ultimate developer convenience. You just had to forget about so many. You could forget about so many things at the time.
Oh, absolutely,
It was small scale bliss, right?
For when you used it and you could get it to work the way you wanted to, it was fantastic. There were just lots of people that couldn't quite get it working. So
it sounds like the platform handles things like persistence and tracking, right? Which is something that normally app developers have to do. Now, is there a lot of diagnostics or tracking information surfaced up in the portal for?
Yes, there's a surprising amount already in the preview. You can see every instance that's run of your workflow. You can see that right there in the portal, and there's an API. Everything I describe in terms of what you can do in the portal, you can do via an API. There is a list of all your workflows, whether they succeeded or failed. If you click on that, we'll show you the timing of each step, how many milliseconds it took, whether each step was skipped, succeeded, or failed. So you'll be able to see if your Salesforce connector failed or whether it succeeded. And then if you click on the connector, you'll actually see exactly what the inputs were to that and what the outputs were, all stored securely and tracked in our backend.
Nice. Very nice.
Does that also overlay, I assume, into the alerting capabilities inside the portal and things now, so that you can basically set up email alerts if something goes off the rails kind of thing?
Not yet, but that's definitely on the to-do list. I mean, it's an obvious thing we can do with when workflows fail, set this up. So,
cool.
Yeah, Cloud's really cool. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I I'm kind of tempted to go play with it. I'm not quite sure what I would do with it that's real. But it sounds like a lot of fun to mess with.
Well, have some fun. I mean, we've got quite a few fun connectors in there. And the reason for that is, and this is one thing I want to stress, is we are focused on the enterprise. But we added like a Facebook connector, Twitter connector, a lot of sort of modern social and SaaS connectors. We have a Slack connector in there if you guys are using Slack or stuff like this. And of course, there's a HTTP connector, so you can call any HTTP API. One of my favorite demos to do to just show the technology and what it's up to is to add a recurrence. So we have a trigger, which it recurs, say, every minute or whatever you like, and then have a HTTP card that goes and pulls a web page from somewhere. And then add another HTTP card that goes and posts that to something like Request Bin, if you're familiar with Request Bin. And just see how easy it is to go and do those things and set them up and then have that running all the time. Then you could add a Twilio connector and send yourself an SMS message. Or pull some website, and if some JSON response from the API looks different, send yourself a text message saying there was an error. Or just request a website, and if the response code wasn't 200, send yourself an SMS to say that this wasn't working. So we added a lot of connectors there that are there for, you can use them for serious reasons. You could have a Twitter search connector that goes and searches for your mentions or a mention of a particular hash and then send you an email via your Office 365 account. Very, very easy to set up and a lot of fun experimenting with.
That's great. Now, you said this was in preview. Is there something that customers need to do to get access to it, or did you just apply for it via the portal? No.
You don't even need to apply. Just go to the portal, create a new Logic app, and create some API apps to use in it, and you are away and running.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Josh. That was a very, very nice introduction to Logic apps. Guys, any more questions for Josh before we wind up?
No, this is great. Thanks for coming on, Josh.
Hey, no problem. Great to chat with you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I appreciate you spending your evening with us, Josh. All right?
Anytime.
Thanks, Josh.
Talk to you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.